Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage. Check them out. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. I want to continue. It's just you and me, and I want to continue our thinking on this intellectual property stuff, because this is really important, ladies and gentlemen. I meant what I said a minute ago when I said that it is a challenge. When I'm encouraging you on the one hand to export, to find partners in other parts of the world where you can do some business. There are so many tools, there's so many resources, there's so many people and organizations that are standing by, a lot of it without any direct expense to you, to help you accomplish this and to help you get your money so that you don't have to worry about what, you know, how long you're going to be hung out there without your money. And so you can do this successfully. And I still am encouraging you to do that. Now, on the other hand, we do have this issue of protecting your intellectual property. Now, if you are exporting something that somebody else makes or that you make and it's just, you know, it's not something that's all that proprietary, then good for you. But if you're exporting something that is proprietary, that you consider to have intellectual value, it is an intellectual property of some kind, then you do have to overlay that element in your consideration. You have to realize that you know, some countries are pretty much like the Wild Wild West. I mean, and whatever you send them, they're going to steal it from you. And I think I think China has proven that they fit that example. Now, if you ship to other countries, to some of the European countries, then if you take certain steps, you should be able to protect your property. And these are questions that you need to ask, ladies and gentlemen, when you're doing your due diligence, as you're doing the research on where to, when and where and how and what to export. Part of what you should be asking is, what's the intellectual property landscape look like in this country or that country? And find out. You may want to engage an intellectual property attorney. And I've introduced you to some on the show before. If you need some help with that, let me know. But you might want to employ somebody who can give you, and this shouldn't cost you a lot of money, to get a little bit of a read on what's the landscape in those countries. If it's really valuable stuff, and if it's a major part of your world, maybe you want to go ahead and file a patent, file some kind of protection procedures in those countries. There are international patent laws. There are international intellectual property scenarios out there, some constructs out there that will help you with this. But you have to keep your eyes open. You have to realize that there is some exposure out there. Once you go wandering around the world, there is some exposure. And I think this is probably one of the reasons why it would, you know, smaller companies will join with a larger company especially if they have this intellectual property situation, because what you're going to need when you go to these countries, you're going to need to be able to defend, to have the financial critical mass to be able to defend your property. You're going to need to put a lock on this property that's big enough and bad enough that it will work. So that might be one consideration, at least, for taking on a larger partner to go to market in other parts of the world. Just something to think about. You know, I was in one of my favorite stories about this kind of thing, and about how incrementalized the Chinese have gotten with regard to knockoffs. A few years ago, I was working with the U.S. Trade Representative they brought in a delegation from the five Southern African countries, the South African Commercial Union was the name of the group. It's an old 100-year-old group. And what they were telling me was that there was this wonderful garment, this natural native garment that African women wore that was so indigenous to the southern part of Africa. Certain colors, certain stripes and that kind of thing. It was so easily recognizable, and it was an icon for South Africa, Southern African countries. Women, Southern African women who lived in Europe were wearing them as a way of reminding themselves of where they were from and letting people know this was who they were. Well, the Chinese were actually knocking off that, and women in Europe were buying these thinking that they were made in Africa, and they were actually being made in China. Now, that's apparently there's nothing too incremental, too marginal for the Chinese to knock off. And so, you know, and I'm kind of picking on them a little bit because they're not the only ones. But just beware. Be careful. Don't be uninformed about these issues. 29 after. We're going to talk about a little history. We'll come back on the other side of these messages with our good friend Kenneth C. Davis. His new book is called America's Hidden History. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.